Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I can't understand why they didn't introduce the show, but all of you listeners out there, you're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network reaching listeners not only locally, nationally, but reaching listeners in any country in the world. And today our topic is caregiving. What a noble profession and mission. And our guest is Dr. Ken Miletich, professor of medicine and a medical oncologist extraordinaire at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood, Illinois. Welcome, Dr. Ken. And by the way, I want all of you to know that Kenneth is my nephew. So he's going to refer to me as Aunt Kathy. Ken, I've never quite gotten used to any of you calling me Kathy. It has to be Aunt Kathy. So welcome. Tell us about your role as a caregiver.
Well, thank you for inviting me on the show, Aunt Kathy. It's a pleasure to be here and to discuss what I feel to be a very timely and important topic. When you take a look at the concept of caregiving, it's somebody taking care of somebody else. Your doctor is a caregiver. Your dentist is a caregiver. They're taking care of you. They are professional caregivers. And that's the level where we do diagnosis and treatment and order testing and medications once we have identified the problem, or even to prevent problems. We are all giving care as professionals. However, there's another just as important level of caregiving that we do as human beings. We take care of our friends, we take care of our family, we take care of our parents, particularly medically when they get sick as the need arises. And this is the group that I think we need to focus on because recently I've had several of my high school friends, their parents have died, or they've had other tragedies in their family, and their relatives have had, like their sons or daughters, have had chronic illnesses. And the first thing that I say to them at the wake is, "You are blessed that you were able to take care of your relative in the way that you did, and you are a hero for doing so." As society is aging, our parents, our children even, can get chronically ill. And the majority of care by the caregivers that are not professionals, doctors, is actually going to be given, is probably being given at home now, in the home environment. And you don't charge a fee for service for taking care of for taking care of your relatives. And I think the Tribune in Chicago recently ran an article where hundreds, if you were to add up what the cost would be if they were compensated or charged for their services, it would be in the hundreds of billions of dollars a
Oh,
year.
absolutely.
So that this is, we call it uncompensated care, but it's care that we do willingly. Because as members of society and as members of the community, we owe it to our parents to take care of them at the time when they're not able to do it. Actually, as you recall, our parents took care of us
Oh, there
when
is
we
a
were
saying,
most vulnerable.
Dr. Kim, there is a saying that a mother could take care of 10 children and love each one individually. But then there comes the time when these 10 children have to take care of the mother, and there may be dissension, there may be arguments, there may be, many reasons why they don't always. The quality of caregiving for many of our seniors and people that need it, I don't think are at 100%. You know, when you think of an adult child caring for an aging parent, you envision a young, robust caregiver in the prime of life. But here are the stats. America's aging population means caregivers, they're getting up in their years as well. Circa 2012, the stats are 40% of caregivers were 50 to 64 years old, More than a quarter were 65 years or older. And if I may bring it closer to home, you know, Ken, that Aunt Kathy and Uncle Bill are octogenarians. And I'm like, where did the time go? I just can't believe it. And I'm now finding myself, it is just minor, having to step in to be a caretaker a little bit, a caregiver. So whether it's a parent or spouse, caregivers need to balance time and roles. They need to schedule time for your time out, not burning out. So what advice would you give to anyone that's caring for anyone so that they don't burn out? Because this is vital. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is 10. We're living longer, but not necessarily better. The quality of life have eluded so many people because they don't know what to do, how to do it, or where to get the help when they need it.
I'd like to share a personal experience with, well, this is known to you, but with your audience, if I may. As you know, your sister, my mother, was in our home for the last year of her life because she was ill with inoperable ovarian cancer at the age of 87. And I'll just share a few experiences with you because I think that other people have probably already had some of these experiences and know what to look for if they haven't. First of all, getting my mother out of her, my dad had died about 15 years ago, I believe. And then when she developed, so she was living at home alone, and she became progressively short of breath and was ill. And as I look back on even before her diagnosis, I would go out and shop for her once a week at Whole Foods, which is a chain out here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that all of a sudden, for the last half a year before her diagnosis, there was more and more food being left uneaten. And that was translating to there was something bothering her appetite, and she just wasn't able to eat regularly. So she got admitted in the hospital and was diagnosed, and then it just became obvious that it was unwise for her to be at home alone. But yet it took her a long time to realize that, because our parents don't want to leave the comfort and security of their home. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that they don't like, and it's totally understandable, and I'd probably be the same way, if you were to hire a caregiver to sit with them, you know, 24 hours a day, they don't like strangers right. in the house. Nevertheless, we worked through all that, and even my mom finally realized that she just couldn't handle it at home with respect to cooking and things like that. So she got admitted to the hospital and then was discharged back home. And the point that I want to make is that I am a caregiver. I'm a trained oncologist. Medically, I know what to expect and general things to do. But I tried to act more as a son rather than as a doctor. But imagine if you're taking care of your loved one who just got discharged from the hospital. They have complicated medical problems. They have a lot of medicines to be given. They require mobility. You may be, as the caregiver, saying, what am I going to do? I'm not a trained professional. And the first thing you have to realize is you're going to do the right thing. You're not going to do the wrong thing. You're not going to hurt them. You will do everything right. So don't be afraid. Talk to the healthcare professionals, the social workers, and see what kind of help you can get in the house to help you out. But you will do everything right, and you will do it with love and care. So once you get through that initial, I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong, things will really go very smoothly for you. Now, you're right about the caregiver burnout. Think about what's on your mind. You're not a healthcare professional. You're afraid that you're not going to be able to help mom or dad out or whoever you're taking care of, like if they have severe pain. But then you turn to the doctors. You're going to be afraid that you're going to let them fall, which you won't. So all of that is on your mind. Plus, you probably had to rearrange work schedules. You may worry about the financial implications of everything that's going on, and it can all add up as time goes on, particularly if it's a very, very long illness. And you have to make certain that you seek appropriate counseling if you think that you're having a problem or coping with it is probably the most important thing you can do. The second thing that's important is try to arrange some time for you and whatever you like to do. You can always hire somebody. There's a lot of home agencies that'll come in and take care of things maybe for a day or two. In hospice, we sometimes utilize what's called respite care, where a patient who's dying is in hospice. They can go to what's called a respite house for a couple of days and allow the family to get out and do some things that they want to do. So it's important.
Wait a minute, Dr. Ken. How does the family feel when they, and I'm really thinking of the caregiver, the family, and you're going to leave this loved one with a strange person, how much guilt comes in? And are they afraid to leave their mommy or daddy or brother or sister, whoever they're taking care of, in the hands of a stranger?
I think that's always a concern that everybody has, but you have to trust other people. And give some time for yourself. If in fact, and that may be personality dependent, if mm-hmm. in fact your personality type is such that you're going to go out somewhere and you're going to be totally guilty about it and be so fearful of it, then you probably ought not to go because you're not giving yourself that refreshing bit of, mm-hmm. you're not refreshing yourself enough. And for some people, that's the way they deal with things. But if you do have a chance and can arrange things, you know, it could be another family member. It doesn't have to be a total stranger if you can swing it.
Well, you know, it's been here again statistically, and I've read about it, and I've had some of my quasi-friends who have had an aging parent, and one of the sisters or siblings will step in to take care of this person, and it's not unusual for the caregiver to die before the patient. Is it because of the stress?
Well, stress can certainly cause heart attacks and things like that. It may be, or maybe it was just their time. Maybe they had an illness that was totally unrecognized. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have heart disease that is undiagnosed and unrecognized, if you have critical blockages that for your level of activity aren't causing a problem, if you start to exercise more, start to lift more, start to move around more, mm-hmm. that can lead to cardiac symptoms just because mm-hmm. you're more active and taking care of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do they do, Dr. Ken? Now, this show is being archived. Get your pen and pad out, blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, C-A-T-H-I, and click on August 25th. To hear the show. Now, and then what I want you to do, because this is a learning curve for all of you, and what you don't know is that Blog Talk Internet Radio is a powerful marketing tool. So this whole program was designed to inform you, to make you aware of what are the obstacles ahead of you. Are you truly willing to be the caregiver, or are you better off to hire someone to come in and take care of or put them in assisted living? This is all relative to your situation. But how do they contact? Do they talk to a social worker? What website? Let me see. We did have one website, and it doesn't really give the site. On Conquer, the patient's voice. You may want to do that. So what else can we do, give them the information on to stay abreast of the plateaus that they reach while being a caregiver?
I think that it's important if you can network with other caregivers in similar situations. You could provide each other positive reinforcement, and you could see, you know, what types of problems other people have run into. social workers are invaluable in terms of knowing what types of resources are out there in your community and what your options are. Hiring somebody, assisted living may not be appropriate for everyone. All of those things are out there, and you can contact your local community services. And they're frequently, like a home visiting nursing association, can be very important resources. But perhaps the thing to do, though, and I know this is difficult for everyone because we don't like to deal with these types of issues in America, is to periodically maybe just sit down and think about what if. What would be your plan if all of a sudden somebody got a serious illness out of the clear blue sky and you suddenly found yourself as a caregiver? So try to maybe just have some sort of a vague plan in the back of your mind and be ready to work on it if you have to, rather than, boy, I never gave this a single thought. You know.
And most people don't.
Most people don't. Most people don't think about these things, and most people, because they're uncomfortable, think about
them. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Penn, may I just interject this? I need to do a little sidebar here. By the way, remember now, this is being archived, blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, CathiWatson, and click on August 25th. And this informative show that is so important today in our society, within minutes could circle the world, because if you will email me at kathystudio@sbcglobal.net, I will forward the link to you, and then I will ask you to forward the link to your email database and ask them to do so, and so on and so on. And with our digital world, within minutes, it could circle the world, and it could be helping someone in Zagreb. It could be helping someone in Australia, because we're all human beings, and we're connected with this golden thread. This happens. This is universal. This is not just an American issue that we have to deal with. But having said that, and this is rather delicate, when I do know, and it's happening in my humankind, the people that I'm associated with, where they have tons of money and they have all kinds of help, what do you do when it's just you and your husband or you and your siblings and you don't have the finances to keep them in the style that you would love to, but yet their needs still need to be recognized?
Yeah, well, again, you can check in the social worker. There's a lot of free stuff out there. You know, the social workers are aware of this. You can get hospital beds, stuff like that can be paid for by Medicare.
Really?
All those things are out there if you do some investigating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not asking you, so that the type of money, financial things that you're talking about would be what, a nursing home? Probably not. But you know, the equipment and buying the stuff that you need, there may be a copay, but a lot of that stuff, if you are homebound and you can demonstrate medical necessity, is covered by, at least in part, by insurance.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there are things out there. You just have to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to go back to one comment earlier. The question is, if we were to die, be able to die more than once, we would get pretty good at it.
Okay.
But we don't have that. We can't do that.
No.
Hello? Yeah. No. But if you were to take care of a lot of people in your family, you'd be much better at it taking care of the eighth person than you are the first person.
Uh-huh.
Now, where I'm going with this is as follows. I am I'm on the teaching faculty of Loyola University Medical Center. So I have gray hair, and I have a new crop of interns that have just graduated medical school, and they're all writing orders and under my supervision. But I said, okay, well, the workup is done. You can be discharged. And the family's terrified. And what I'm trying to get them to realize, just sit back for a minute and think about the family in all this. Yes, your obligation is to the patient, but the caregivers are going to be taking care of this and carrying out your plan at home. And you need to address their anxieties, give them time to process, give them time to get everything together. You know, there's a big trend nowadays to in and out of the hospital, get people in, get them out quickly. And sometimes that can be negative sometimes. We do need to think about the caregiver and all this, that they have to be appropriately educated, that we have mobilized the correct home resources to help them, and that may take additional time, and families should ask for that time if they think that the discharge process is going too fast.
Mm-hmm. And now we think of it as, how many times have you heard this, Ken? Gee, these are your golden years. And the truth is that they can be. Now, listen to me, caregivers. You need, and all of what Dr. Ken has said to you, hopefully you will go back and listen to this show over and over and over again. I don't know how many siblings you have. Many times there's just one that takes over and says, this is what I need to do. I'm thinking of some of the cases that I've been introduced to. I'm not involved in them, but the tendency is to be an enabler. This caretaker, this patient can do a lot more than you honestly think they can, and by enabling them, you're preventing them from perhaps advancing in their wellness. Now, during all of this, all of you caregivers, you need your own space to vent. Now, here are some of the signs of depression in yourself. And don't delay in getting professional help when you need it. Feelings of sadness, emptiness, unhappiness, loss of interest, sleep disturbances, including insomnia or sleeping too much, tired and lack of energy, so that even small tasks take extra effort. Change in appetite, which includes reduced appetite, weight loss, but increased cravings for food, and weight gain occur in some people. Now, with Uncle Bill and I, Ken, you already know this, most people go through an exercise phase. We never outgrew ours. We cannot imagine getting up in the morning without going out to do our exercise program. And our regime, which includes walking, the Stairmaster, treadmill, elliptical, and cross-training. Now, our exercise program is daunting, so don't do it. Check with your doctor. Check with Dr. Ken. Do not do anything, because I am not medical. He is. I am convinced that if more people early on in life, and it doesn't matter what your age is, to get off your butt and to start moving, how is that going to help them address some of these issues that perhaps they weren't quite ready for?
Well, I think that a balance in life is always good. If you do even moderate exercise, even moderate exercise can go a long way.
Describe
if
moderate.
If you're physically capable of doing it, you know, 20 minutes of walking a day.
Mm-hmm.
Walk as much as possible. Don't become a couch potato. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a trainer or anything like that, but you can feel mentally and physically better and better equipped, therefore, to take on the challenges that that confront you.
Oh.
You know, one of the big problems with the graying of America is actually loss of muscle mass and loss of mobility.
Uh-huh. So then, and the elixir of youth and health, we go back to the big E word that everyone detests. It is exercise. Why is it that Ematica devalues exercise more than any other nation in the world? Why is that?
Well, I don't have a feel for what the answer to that would be. I don't know. But I don't know that they devalue exercise. I mean, there's certainly enough public health service announcements about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be disciplined in doing it. And it sounds like you and Uncle Bill are very disciplined.
Well, we have been. Remember in the 1950s when we were doing all of this exercising, everyone thought we were crazy. Well, where are they today? And I just can't imagine our life without moving the toxins out of our body and getting that precious oxygen to the brain. That gives you the ability to be lucid and to participate in life. Remember I said, we're living longer, Ken, but tell me where the golden years are. Are they a little bit tarnished? I read not too long ago that obesity-related illnesses are costing us $90 billion a year. And what does obesity have to do with putting a person in a position of needing a caregiver? If they're starting to lose their mobility, or they're not coherent and they can't grasp what they did a year ago, what are we going to do? What is the solution? Is there a solution?
Well, there's no solution right now. The obesity is recognized as an epidemic, and it leads to diabetes, hypertension. Heart disease also can lead to does lead to increased incidence of cancer. And, you know, the golden years are still there. Some people develop health-related problems, whether they're thin, whether they're overweight. And it's part of life. Getting ill, unfortunately, is part of life, and it's just something that we have to deal with. And there's no we age. And sometimes the golden years go on, and they're golden for quite a while, but everyone, unfortunately, has a little tarnish creep into those. No matter.
No.
It happens. I'm afraid it happens.
Now, again, they're choices. When you really stop to think about it, Ken, our greatest freedom is that of choice. What are they choosing? The people that get ill, the caregivers, it's all about choice, every single minute we are making a choice. So caregivers, you need to take time out for you. And this last paragraph that I have to read to you, taking care of the caregiver, remember, the person you're caring for is very appreciative of your care, no matter how he or she expresses it. If they are enduring pain or depression, it may be hard for them to express gratitude. But don't doubt for a minute that your work isn't very important. And does it help to role model, to change places, and pretend you're the patient that needs the care?
It could be helpful, and that's why I say, well, you just have to think of the scenario. And that's why I think that taking care of my mom in terms of broadening my horizons, I think made me a better teacher to the younger doctors about things to think about.
How sad.
The patient is in the family unit,
yeah,
and this disease impacts on the family unit, and that all has to be factored into the equation.
We have 60 seconds. Let's just bring it all together. What genuine words and advice do you have in parting?
It's the highest privilege for one human to care for another. It's an honor for one human to care for another. Do it with love and do it with gratitude, and you'll do everything right. And remember, take care of yourself as well.
You are listening to Thank You, Dr. Ken Misicich, professor of medicine and a medical oncologist extraordinaire at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood, Illinois. It has been my pleasure. And remember to take care of yourself. Until we meet again, always be in your best elements. Again, thank you, Dr. Ken. The pleasure was all mine.
Thank you. Take care.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.